Today she is Masechta Menachas Daf Nun Vav. We will begin on Daf Nun Vav on Aleph at the top line, Mask of La Ravina. In our previous year, the Torah had said the pasuk v'shachat oisai, and from the word v'shachat oisai, the Torah said about the siar of the Nasi Nachshon, but it was only Nachshon. It was all the Nasiim during the Shemana Shemayim Lum brought a series of kabbanas. And one of the kabbalas they brought was a karma chattis. And the halacha is that normally karma chattis is brought b'tzafayin. But the Gemara had learned from the words v'shachar oisai that stated by that karma chattis that the sar, that karma chattis, that nachshon, the nasi brought, does not have to be brought, doesn't have to be brought b'tzafayin. And as we explained, because normally, which kamachatis has to be brought b'tzafen? That's a kamachatis that was brought because somebody did an aveira. Here, there was no aveira done. Since there was no aveira done, it was just part of the process of bringing the kabon of the shemani, of the days of the inauguration of the mishkan. So therefore, there's no need for tzafen. So ask the Gemara, maskler ravina teinuch. We need a pasuk to teach us that there is no din of tzafen by the soyer nachshon, according to Yehuda. Because as we learned at the end of our previous year, that it did have to have smicha. So since it has to have smicha, we would think it should be treated like all karmachatis. And all karmachatis have smicha and have tzafen. We would think that this karmachatis as well has smicha and has tzafen. That's why we needed a pasuk to say, no, it doesn't have to. But according to Rav Shimon, that there doesn't have a source to teach us that you have to do smicha by the Sar Nachshon, why would we think that it has to have shechita b'tzafen, that we would need the pasuk to exclude that it doesn't have to have shechita b'tzafen? Amalim azotubrei der amari l'ravina. Why asks he? Is this a question only according to Rav Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda, that does hold that there is smicha. Why is the fact that there is smicha by the Sar Nachshon make us believe that there has to be tzafen? Because why don't we just understand? My this rabbi is rabbi. What the Torah says is obligated, which means smicha. Or my the lawyer's rabbi. And therefore, why would we think that there should be tzafen by the Sar Nachshon, that we need a pasuk? The Chitema asked the Gemara, Eloi Matikra, if we did not have a pasuk that teaches us that there's no chiv or shchita b'tzafen but the Sar Nachshon, have a meaning we would actually learn it, Taisi v'binyan av. Because, as we've been saying, the Sar Nachshon is called chattis, and just like all common chattis require shchita b'tzafen, as so too, what we say is the halacha by Sar Nachshon. That's why we need oisai. Ask the Gemara, if that's a legitimate approach, and we say that since this is an act of, that this is a regular karmachatis, and just like all karmachatis need tzafen, that's why this karma needs tzafen, so then, smicha gufa. So why do we need a pasuk to teach us that the Sar Nachshon requires smicha? Lishta Kraminai, the Torah should never have discussed the obligation of smicha by the Sar Nachshon, and we would know it requires smicha, but Taisi b'binyanav, we would learn it, that just like all other karmachatis require smicha, it too requires smicha. Ella, what's the reason? Why is that not a fair approach? Because the Gemara says, Shoa midaris lo yapinan. The Sar Nachshon was a one-time event, as we keep on repeating, at the inauguration of the Mishkan. So we can't learn the halacha of a carbon that came once by the inauguration of the Mishkan from kabbanis kamchatz that come all the time. So if that's the case, that you don't learn, and that's all we need, if the halacha requires smicha, we need a pasuk. So says the Gemara, why would you say that shchita should be b'tzofen because it's a kamchatz, and we say all kamchatz need tzofen? We would say shchita midaris lo yapinan. We don't learn that shamidaris lo yapinan. What happened by that one carbon cannot be a source for all other situation. Says Gemara Aloysa, why does the word Isa come to teach us? Tan Sofen, that the carbon itself has to be standing in Sofen. However, Ve'en HaShoichet, the Shoichet that's doing Smicha, that's doing the Shechita, doesn't have to be in the Sofen. So Taisus asked the question that we learned in Masechta Zvachim and Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, that not only does the Shoichet not have to be B'Tzofen, he doesn't even have to be in that Zara. And as the Gemara over there explained, the Pasuk says, V'shachar has ben habakar lefnei Hashem, and we learned from that, that the ben habakar, the animal, has to be lefnei Hashem, and not the Shoichet. So why do we need a Pasuk? Why do we need a Pasuk to teach it that the Shoichet doesn't have to be B'Tzofen? He doesn't have to be in that Zara altogether. So Taisus answers, and he says that in that Gemara we learned the opinion of Shimon HaTamani that actually holds that the Pasuk says Lifnei Hashem, that the Shoichet does have to be in the Azara. And that he is the Tana of our Gemara. And now our Gemara is most understandable. Once we've established that the Shoichet, the Kayin, has to be in the Azara, so now we would think that not only must he be in the Azara, the halacha is, he has to be standing in Tzofen, teaches us that he doesn't. Just to review, when we learned Masechta Zvachim Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, we had a very serious discussion in the Gemara as well, where exactly is Tzofen. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that the entire area parallel to the Mizbeach, it's often. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon said not only the area parallel to the Mizbeach, but the area min ulam Mizbeach, the space between the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, the entrance to the Mishkan and the Mizbeach. And Rabbi said even the other side as we approach the Mizbeach is also considered Tzofen. Taisus explains, does the Shoichet not have to be standing in Tzofen? So Taisus explains because, as we often learned, Shechita Ksher Bazar. By learning the halacha that Shechita Ksher Bazar, what that really means to tell us is that the Shechita is not considered an Avoida. And therefore, since the Shechita is not considered an Avoida, that's why he doesn't have to be standing in Tzofen when he does the Shechita. And that's also the reason for another halacha that we learned in Masechta Zvachim, that there's a difference between the halacha by the Shechita versus the halacha by the Kabbalah. That by Shechita, as we keep on repeating, the Shoichet has to be, the animal has to be B'Tzofen, but the Shoichet doesn't have to be B'Tzofen. When we speak about Kabbalah Saddam, not only must the Kabbalah Saddam take place B'Tzofen, but the Kohen who's doing the Kabbalah Saddam also has to be standing B'Tzofen. And the explanation is because Kabbalah is much more of an Avoida than the Shechita. And therefore, by Kabbalah, not only must the animal be B'Tzofen, but the person the Kohen has to be there as well. The Rishonim debate, a Machlokes Rishonim, we're learning very clearly that the Shoichet who's doing the Shechita does not have to be B'Tzofen. We're learning also very clearly that the animal must be B'Tzofen. Not as a Machlokes Rishonim, however, what about the Sakin? Does the knife have to be B'Tzofen, or does the knife not have to be B'Tzofen, that it still can be considered B'Tzofen? The opinion of the Rebbeinu Gershom is that the knife as well has to be B'Tzofen. Whereas the opinion of Taisus in Masechta Zvachim is that not just does the Shoichet not have to be B'Tzofen, but also the knife with which he's shechting the animal does not have to be B'Tzofen. Says the Gemara. But this halacha, that the Shoichet doesn't have to be standing in the Tzofen, is learned from a different pasuk, asked the Gemara. Midrav Ayah Nafka. The Tanya of Ahaya Omer, of Ayah teaches us, V'shachar Oysa Yerach Mezbeach Tzfoinoi, Ma Tamar Loima, what does that pasuk V'shachar Oysa Yerach Mezbeach Tzfoinoi come to teach us? L'fish Mitzinu, Mekabel. As we just learned, that the halach is that the one that does Kabbalah Saddam, he's Oyim B'Tzofen. The animal has to be B'Tzofen. Or Mekabel B'Tzofen, the person who's doing Kabbalah Saddam has to be B'Tzofen. And that's learned because the Pasuk says, V'Shochet Esachatz V'Mokim Oilo V'Lokach HaKoyim B'Domim B'Atzmai Soy. The Torah speaks about the Kabbalah next to the Shechita. So since, as we just learned, that the Shechita has to be B'Tzofen, so too does the Kabbalah have to be B'Tzofen. And as we just finished learning, when we speak about Kabbalah, we're not just speaking about the animal, we're talking about the person who's doing it, B'Dorim. And therefore, teaches us the Gemara Masechta Zvachim Daf Mem Ches Omer Aleph, Im Omed B'Dorim. If the Kayin who's doing the Kabbalah Saddam is standing in the Dorim, the Kibbal B'Tzofen, and does Kabbalah Saddam B'Tzofen Posel, Yochel Avzeh Kain, we would think that so too is the Halacha regarding Shechita. Tamaloyim, the Pasuk says, V'Shachar Oisai, from which we learn, Oisai B'Tzofen, the animal has to be there, V'Loy HaShoichet Tzorach Liyos Oimed B'Tzofen. So the question is, if that's the Pasuk that we're learning from, so why do we need a separate pasuk to teach us that the shaykh doesn't have to be b'tzofen? Answers the Gemara, the pasuk of Oysa is coming to teach us a different halacha. Oysa b'tzofen, that the when we do the animal has to be b'tzofen, but when we do malika on a ben oif, which is could be a kamchatas or kamen oil, as we've learned in Ashurim, the halacha is they do not have to be done b'tzofen. So the Chayim ask a question, really two angles to this question. Number one, the shechita of the malika of an oif is done on the mizbeach. And moreover, the Mishnah teaches us that the mizbeach is considered like the tzofen. So why? This is a Mishnah Masechta Zvachim Daf Nun Ches Amin Aleph. So what does the Gemara means to say here? Says the Chazon Yecheskel that when we speak about Tzofen, when we speak about a Karban Chattis or Karban Oila, there's a special din that the animal has to be standing in Tzofen. And therefore, the halach is that you have to have most of the animals standing in Tzofen to make it be considered Tzofen. When we speak in our Gemara, he points out that by a bird, the din of tzofen doesn't apply. So yes, the halacha is the shechit, the malika, is done b'roish shemizbeach. But that doesn't require that the animal should be b'tzofen. As long as the shechit is being done on the top of the mizbeach, that is enough to make it be considered like it was done b'tzofen. So that's what the Gemara is saying, that the entire point of tzofen doesn't apply by birds. And the Gemara explains why we would think differently. It says, Gemara, Sakat at Chamina, Leisa b'kavachayim ben tzayin. We should learn the halacha of an oif from an animal. And we should say as following. Oma ben tzayin, shloi kavalei kayin. The halacha, as we know many times, is that the shechita of an animal does not have to be done by the kayin. The halacha is, but the kavalei tzofen, it has to be done by tzofen, certainly ben oif, shekavalei kayin. By ben oif, where the halacha is that the malika could only be done by a kayin. Ein adin, certainly that it should be, the halacha should be nikvalei tzofen, that it should, the malika has to take place by tzofen. Ask the Gemara, why would we learn from a ben tzoin to an oif? Ma'al ben tzoin, shekain kavalei kli. The halacha is that shechita has to be done, preferably with a sakan, with a knife, or with some sort of an instrument. Malika, as we also learned, as we've learned so many times, is done with the fingernail of the kohen. So therefore, it's so different. How can we learn one from the other? Says the Gemara, you're right. What do we learn for tzofen? So of course it's not done with tzofen. Why do we need a pasuk, as the Gemara was suggesting, to exclude birds from tzofen? Says the Gemara, what we learn here is oyser b'tzofen, vein pesach b'tzofen. The pesach doesn't have to be done in tzofen. Pesach is kachim kalim, and it could be slaughtered anywhere in the Azara. says the Mar Pesach, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Nefka, the halacha that the Korban Pesach could be slaughtered anywhere in the Azara, we learned from a different source. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, Yochliye Pesach Torn Tzofen, we would think that the Korban Pesach should be done, the Shechita should be done with Tzofen. The dinner, when we come to a logic, it would be done based on a logical argument. When it comes to Korban Oila, there is no specific time when we have to bring the Korban Oila. The law is Kavalei Tzofen, it can only be brought, it can only be slaughtered with Tzofen. Pesach should Kavalei Zman L'Shechitasoi. Korban Pesach can only be brought Erev Pesach in the afternoon. Ain't a din shetikvalei tzofen. And that's why the Gemara is saying, mate, that's why we need a pasuk. Says the Gemara, why is that a legitimate way of learning? Malo oila shekein kolol. The oila is completely burnt, whereas the Pesach is actually mostly is eaten. Says the Gemara, you're right. There's no reason to learn Pesach from oila, but the Gemara says maybe we should learn it from chattis. If a chattis that doesn't have a specific time, the halacha is it has to be betzofen, and we eat part of the korban chattis. Certainly, so should be the halacha by Pesach, and that's why we need a pasuk. Says why we can't learn Pesach from chattis. Mal chattis shekem chaperes al chayv krisis. A korban chattis is here for kapara. Pesach is not here for kapara. Says the Gemara. So we'll learn from Oshem. Why is Oshem better? Because Oshem, even though it's mechaper, but it's not mechaper only on chayv krisis, and that loch is shchitos betzofen. Says the one you can't learn from Oshem because mal Oshem can't kachu kachim. Oshem is a kachu kachim. All these other kabbanas are not kachu kachim. And actually, says the Gemara, once we come to this point that the Gemara says that Oshem is kachu kachim and therefore it cannot serve as a source for the Pesach. Actually, all these kabbanas that we just learned, oila, chattis, are all kachi kachim, and what's the have a minute to learn Pesach from them? Shekei kachi kachim, says the Gemara. So we're still trying to determine what is the purpose of the word oisai that the Torah said by the Sar Nasi. Says the Gemara, we go to Memri Mekara, as we said already in our previous year, that we learn from the word oisai, b'tzofen, Veina shaykh b'tzofen, that the animal has to be b'tzofen, as we said earlier in our shir, the shaykh doesn't have to be there. Ay, with the kokashloch, but we said, why do we need that limud? Midr of Ahayah Nafka, that halacha was already learned from Rav Ahayah, says the Gemara, the Rav Ahayah lav lamuti shaykh b'tzofen udasa. The purpose of Rav Ahayah wasn't coming to teach us that the shaykh doesn't stand b'tzofen by the time of shchita. That we indeed learned. Alachikamer. What he meant to teach us is in a shaykh b'tzofen, ava makab b'tzofen. The whole point that he was coming to teach us is that the makabel, the kabal zadam, has to be the standing b'tzofen. But he wasn't focused on the shaykh. Says the Gemara, we don't need Rav Ahayah for that. Makabel, the fact that the makabel has to be the one that does the kabbal sadam has to be b'tzofen, we learn from a different source. Melokach v'lokach nefka. The pasuk says, we quoted this earlier in the shir. The Torah Kedoshah says, v'ashachar ayso l'chatas b'mokam shiyishchir es oyle v'lokach ha-koyin midam ha-chatas b'etzba. And the Torah has this letter vav in the beginning of the word v'lokach. So we learn that the kabbal sadam has to be in the same place as the shechita. And if the shechita has to be b'tzofen, so too is the halacha regarding the kabbal sadam. And so the Gemara, lokach for lokach, that vav le mashmalei, he doesn't use that as a limit. We go back to the subject that we've been focused on, and that is the chayv alishos vel rechos vel ifiosai. The halacha is that we're not allowed to make a korban mincha chametz. And not only is the halacha that we're not allowed to make the korban mincha chametz, as we've been learning, but it's even more so. If you did lisha or aricha or afia, you chayiv malchus for each one of these acts. Says the Gemara Amar Papa, Ofa, if somebody baked the korban mincha when it was chametz like ishtaya, achas al richasoi, v'achas al fiyasoi. So the Pasha Pshat and learning the Gemara, this way Rashi learns the Gemara, that the Afiyah, besides the baking, is actually obviously an act of baking. But what we're learning from here is that the afiyah is also part of the arocha. The afiyah is part of forming the bread. So if you chayif for forming the bread, so when you do afiyah, you're going to be chayif twice. One for afiyah b'chimetz and one for aricha b'chimetz. Ask the Gemara, v'amret ma afiyah miyuchadas shimas yechidi. The Bryce on Daf Nun Hey explained that afiyah is unique, that it's an independent act. So we'll see that for afiyah you only chayiv one malchus. But the way we're learning now, you chayiv two malchus by afiyah, because afiyah, besides being an act of afiyah, is also being considered an act of aricha. So the Gemara, loikasha. This is what happened. Hada aruchuv off of who? The one, the Bryce that we learned previously, that you chayiv for afiyah only one malchus, is speaking about a case that he did, that when he, Huda Aruchuv Afahu, when he did both Aricha and Afiyah, that's why he's Chayiv to Malchus. But he's not Chayiv for Aricha, because the Aricha was already done by somebody else. And therefore, the Afiyah is the Afiyah, and the Aricha is the Aricha. When are we Chayiv twice? Where the person did the afiyah and completed the chimutz, the aricha, and therefore you chayiv twice. Begins the Gemara with a new discussion, and that is that the halacha is that a bachor, the firstborn animal, is given, the owner of that animal has to give it to the kohen. The halacha is that he has to give it to the kohen, and we have to be most careful not to make it a balmum, because everybody would prefer, particularly in the world that we live in now, where we can't bring the bechor as a kayin, as a carbon, that it should become balmum. And once it becomes balmum, it becomes the property of a kayin. So there's a serious isser, and that's a very big part of what we're going to be learning in Mitzvah Shem, in Masechta Bechairis, of not being allowed to make a bechor into balmum. It says the Gemara Tanur Rabban bechor, animal that is already bechor she'ochsodam, that it has an abundance of blood, which was considered a very serious illness. Makizras adam. So the way that they dealt with that issue was that they did hakazas adam, bloodletting, and says the brisa makizras adam b'makom she'enas b'mum. You have to make the puncture in a place where making such a puncture is not considered you made a mum. But a kozos dam may not be done, but makos shoyis b'mum, in a place that would make into mum. Divrei Rameya. Chama imrim yakis af b'makom shoyis b'mum. He says you could do that kozos dam even on a spot that making a puncture is considered making a mum. Ovad shel yoyishchad lois mum. The halach is that is not a mum, as we just said a moment ago. That if the bechor is about mum, then you could use it for your own, you can eat the animal for your own personal use. The halacha is that a mum, however, a mum that you perform is not going to have that status. And therefore, since this mum was made deliberately during the act of Akazas Adam, that will not be a mum for which you could eat the animal. You have to wait till it gets another mum by itself. And there's a machloikus rishonim, how to learn this Gemara. Some rishonim say that this is a halacha in mum. It seems that that's Rashi's pshat. That the Torah HaKadosh said that a mum that was made by the person himself is not considered a mum. And since it's not considered a mum, therefore it's not a mum for which you could consider the Bechor HaBal mum. Others say it's a gzeira, that if we're going to have a situation where that you made a mum and it's going to be considered a legitimate mum to be able to eat the animal, it may come to be that people are going to make mumim in the bechayr. And therefore, you have to wait till it gets its own mum. Rav Shimon Aimer, he said, af nishchad alayis mum. Rav Shimon, this is Rav Shimon, the way Rashi explains, that Rav Shimon's opinion throughout Shas is a dovashen miskaven is mutter. This person who did that kazus adam, his intention was not to make a mum. He was trying to heal the animal. That's not called making a mum. I, Rav Shimon's opinion is that psik reisha, and that even if it's a davar shenu miskaven, but what you're doing is inevitable to happen. It's considered like you had kavana. So why is this not considered a bamum? So explain the achronim that what is the issue? The issue is not the mum. The issue is the shechita. But the Torah says you can't shecht the bechor for your own personal use. You can't shecht the bechor for your own personal use if you made a mum. But if it was not your intention to make a mum, since it wasn't your intention to make it into baal mum, that's why it's not considered that you even are like a psik reisha. The Tosis, this is Rashi's approach in understanding Gemara. Tosis disagrees, and he says that this Gemara is not to be understood based on Rav Shimon's opinion of Davar Shenu Miskaven. He says that the reason is that the reason that you're allowed to do it is the Hakazus Saddam, even when it makes a mum, is because it's not, because the whole reason, we go back to what Tyson said a moment ago. Tyson says that the concern here is only a concern midrabbanan. Says Tyson, since I hold that the entire concern here is only a concern midrabbanan, so the Tanakhama holds there's a gzeira midrabbanan, and Rav Shimon doesn't subscribe to that gzeira. And since Rav Shimon doesn't subscribe to that gzeira, he says that you could, when it's considered perfectly fine. Rav Yehuda says, afilu meis, even if we're going to have a situation where the animal is so sick that we won't do hakazus adam, the animal is going to die, emakizim lois adam, we're not allowed to do hakazus adam. Even, say, the Rishonim, in a case where we have the following situation, the animal is very ill. It has ribui dam. It has a lot of dam. And we're doing that kazus adam in a way that it's going to be fine. But since, says Rabbi Yehuda, Chazal were concerned that if under any circumstances we're going to allow hakazus adam, we're concerned that that's going to lead that people are going to treat these animals improperly, and they're going to make a mum where they're not allowed to make a mum. Says the Gemara, Amar Chibar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Hakamaydim, so we go back to our Gemara. Are you allowed to make a mum? The discussion here is, are you allowed to make a mum on an animal which is already by mum? The animal is very ill. Because the Chum's opinion is, yes, the animal's already by mum anyway. So now the question is, we've been learning extensively in our shiurim that we're not allowed to make the carbon mincha into chametz. What's the halach if the carbon is already chametz? Is that considered, now you make it chametz more? Is that an issue or not? So says the Gemara, if the carbon mincha was already made into chametz, that means you did the aricha b'chametz, then afu chayiv. Even the second person is chayiv. And that's really what the Mishnah said, because the Mishnah said that anybody who did anything to make it chametz, the Mishnah didn't focus who was first and who was second. Apparently, the Mishnah's opinion is clearly that anybody who does anything that would make it into chametz, the halacha is that it's osur. Afu chayiv. The ksiv loisasa chametz, and the Torah says loisafa chametz. Why did the Torah, as we discussed in our previous year, single out the act of afia to teach us that no matter what you do, if you did something that makes into chametz, it's going to be asur. So the Karen Ira tries to understand this Gemara. Does the Torah mean to say that any act of chimutz, even though this is already chimutz, it's asur? Or, that's one way of learning, that the Torah says, even though you already have a carbon milcha that's chametz, any act of chametz is asur. Or the other way to learn, says the Karen Ayra, is what the Gemara means to say is that every act of chimutz makes the carbon more chametz. And every act that makes them more chametz will be usur. What's going to be the halacha discussed the achroinim? Not the case that we're learning in Agamar, but with Losh and Orach and Offa. What's going to be halacha if somebody has a dough and he puts a piece of sour yeast, sourdough, in that on that dough? Will that be considered an act of chimutz? Is that considered an actual act of chimutz? Or is it considered a grumma? And therefore, since it's only considered a grumma, you wouldn't be chayiv. Says the Gemara, another halacha. The Torah says that we're not allowed to sterilize an animal. Says the Gemara, Masaris Acha Masaris, if somebody tore one of the testicles of the animal, so you already sterilized it, what will be the halacha? Or somebody tore it but didn't rip it out, now somebody else is going to do that. Shafu chayiv. That even though you really didn't do anything, you didn't make a difference with your second act, you're still chayiv d'ksiv. The Torah Kedosh says, "Amoch v'kosu v'nosu v'choros, emal kairos hu chayiv." If somebody just makes a tear, he's chayiv. Al noisik lekoshkein, completely separating, you're certainly chayiv. El lahavi noisik acha kairos shu chayiv. Says the Gemara, where do we have the machloikis? The machloikis is most relevant in our shir. If the animal, the bechor, is already balmum, and now you add another mum to it, how does the halacha look at it? Rameyah says, komum lo yibay. The Torah uses the word komum to teach us that even an animal which is already balmum, you are not allowed to make a mum on it. Rabbanim savri, Rabbanim say, tamim yil rotzen. Only an animal which is healthy can be used as a carbon. But the animal, which is already not healthy, there's no problem making it a balmum, because that animal is anyway not qualified to be brought as a carbon. Ask the Gemara the obvious question. And once the animal's not a tamim, why would it be us to make it a balmum? Says the Gemara, Hulamuti, that pasuk to teach us balmum yikara. If that the animal, at the time you were magdish the animal, was already balmum, then this halacha would not be applicable. He says, all the discussion that we're having about making an animal balmum is only an animal that was not balmum before you were magdish it. But if the animal was already a balmum before you were magdish it, everybody would agree that if now you're magdish, if make another mum, it wouldn't be a problem. Says the Gemara, why do we need a pasuk for that? Balmum yikara, if the animal was a balmum from the outset, dikla balmu, it's a piece of wood, it's nothing. Says the Gemara, elamuti psula mekdash lach pejoinim. If you have an animal that you are magdish for the mizbeach, and they became disqualified, they became balmum, and the aloch is an animal that becomes balmum, obviously cannot be put on the mizbeach, and therefore, since it cannot be put on the mizbeach, you'll have to redeem it. Sal kadat techamina. And there are rules how an animal which was once hegdish and now is no longer hegdish, still there's certain rules how that animal may be treated. So since we know that you can't shear the wool of it, vavoida, you can't use it for work, so maybe the halacha should be the mumum nami litzri, that the halacha should tell us that you shouldn't be allowed to make it into a balmum, even though you already paid it. Kamashmalan, that even though there are these limitations, Giza's Osir, Avoida's Osir, this is not, however, one of those limitations. And here, the halacha will be that you would be allowed to make it into Balmum. Rabbanan Nami, the Rabbanan who hold that the Pasuk Tam Yil Rotzen says that an animal which is already Balmum, the halacha allows us to make into, we'll have to put a mum on it. But ask the Gemara, why is that? Doesn't the Torah say "Kamum lo yebai"? Answers the Gemara, he uses that pasuk l'chretanya. The pasuk says "Kamum lo yebai." Only elish lo yebai mum. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to make actively a mum. However, minayin shlo yigraloi aydei acherim. You now even cause indirectly that it should become bamum. What does that mean? Shlo yineich batzer gudveila, put food al gabei oizen on top of the ear of the animal, and that will cause kidei shiyova kelev yitlena, that a dog will come and bite the ear and make it into bamum. How will we know that even that is prohibited? Tamalayma ka mum. Amar, the Torah could have just said the word mum. And vama ka mum, to teach us that in any fashion, even through a grumma, you're not allowed to make it into a ba mum. So as we've been learning in our Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that even if the animal, if the carbon was already chametz, the halacha is, you're not allowed to be mechametz, ache mechametz. And Rashi explains that if you have several people do different parts of the baking process, one person is kneading it, another is shaping it, a third person is baking it, even though the first person, as we learned, made it ready, it was already chametz, each one of them will be chayiv. Says the Meches Chinuch, that halacha that we just said, that even though a number of people were involved in making this carbon mincha chametz, they're all chayiv, is only if these different people did different parts of the breaking process. However, he says, if one person puts on sar, which we said as an example and of making it to chametz, on top of a mincha that already had sar put on it, so that, even though that won't be in the category mechametz ach mechametz, and it won't be chayiv. The Sfas Emes disagrees. He says, not that he disagrees, he says that the Rambam disagrees, and that the Rambam holds that even if one person puts sar and the second person puts sar, the halacha is that he would be chayiv malchus. Actually, Chavetz Chaim's opinion is, so Meches Chinuch says it's a machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, and the Sfas Emes opinion is, Chavetz Chaim's opinion actually is, that it's not a machlokes, that everybody actually agrees that even if you did the repetitive thing, you would be chayiv. So here we're learning, if the second thing that you did really didn't accomplish much, would you be chayiv or not? Meches Chinuch has an interesting discussion where if somebody, Rachman Slon erased Hashem's name. And the halacha is that Mechikas Hashem, erasing Hashem's name, of course, L'sasakel Hashem L'keichem. The halacha is, it's a serious isser. Why would be the halacha if somebody after, let's say we have Alv Dun, Dal Nun Yud, Yud Kei Vav Kei, and somebody erased one of the letters, and now another person comes and erases another letter, will he be chayiv or not? So the Meches Chinuch says that, and he quotes the Chavos Yor as well, that once one of the letters of Hashem's name was erased, it's not considered a act of Mechikas Hashem. There are Achroinim that disagree, and they use a very interesting Sfara. They say, we know that the halach is, we learned this in Masech the Sanhedrin, is that we have to do whatever we can to destroy and eradicate Avodah Zarah. So what's that? What does that mean? That Gemara says, Misharish Achim Misharish, that if somebody did something to wipe out the Avodah Zarah, it doesn't mean that the second person shouldn't do as much as he can. So explains the So those Achroinim point out, just like there's a chiv to do whatever we can to desecrate the Avodah Zarah, so too will be the halacha when it comes to showing respect to the Shem Hashem. And showing respect to the Shem Hashem means that even though, unfortunately, some of the Shem Hashem was erased, that does, it's still, we have to do whatever we can to protect whatever is still there, and erasing any part that's still there would be awesome.